You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett, along my co-host, George Kurtz. A technical glitch to start the show, never a good start, but thank you for joining us on the show this morning. We'll be here all the way till 10 o'clock talking about the NFL, maybe throw in a little bit of baseball. George is a big hockey fan. Maybe he'll even give him a minute on that. But needless to say, there's a lot of action in front of us. Bye weeks have hit us pretty hard this week. We have six teams off, and we'll be going through all the matchups and all the people you may have snagged off the waiver wire to get you started this week. So with your Ravens, Rams, Dolphins, Giants, Steelers, and Niners all on bye, I'm sure you had to scramble quite a bit, not to mention the injuries that we'll go through in a couple of minutes that have impacted you in a big way. Sorry to all you C.J. Anderson owners, of which I am one. I have a team that is undefeated, and I just lost C.J. Anderson, so I don't think I'll be undefeated for much longer. So I think of all those teams that are getting a bye, I'm biased in saying this, but I think the Steelers were probably in the most need of it from an NFL standpoint, with Roethlisberger getting an extra week. I think it's going to help the team overall. They obviously had a lot of defensive injuries as well, did not play well defensively to this point this year, and it got worse as players got injured. But Todd Gurley owners, you've had to make a pivot. Jay Ajayi owners, that you've actually found a diamond in the rough midway through the season, you've had to make a pivot there as well. So, George, good to see you again, buddy. How are things?
Things are well.
Good.
How could things be any better?
That's right. That's right. So we'll go talk a little bit about the Thursday night performance of Blake Bortles. 337 and three scores. Just a brilliant performance by Bortles. Am I right?
Oh, it's last year all over again.
Yep.
I mean, he was bad. He was bad enough where Jake Steele made the comment on Twitter, and I think he was doing it half tongue-in-cheek. Has anybody checked his eyes? You start looking at the passing, I'm like, it's not a bad idea, because not all of these were the receivers' fault where they're running the wrong routes. He's off.
Yeah.
And he was awful.
He was off in an Osweiler way, missing passes by a large margin. They highlighted a couple in particular, Allen Robinson, who did get 15 targets, I believe, only six catches on the night.
40%, not good.
That's about as bad a catch rate as you're going to find for any receiver, let alone a number one fantasy first-round pick wide receiver. There was one where he had beat the receiver. He forced him to dive. There's another one where he ran a quick little dig route, and Bortles threw it about 3 yards in front of him. He was 8 of 16 for 64 yards in the first half, and I don't think it was that good. He finishes in the second half 25 of 38 for 273, and it ends up, like I said, 337 and three scores. For fantasy purposes, you hit a home run. I had him in two leagues, George. One is the Dynasty League, where the other option was Rivers. So naturally, I had to play Bortles. I'm not going to play Phil Rivers against the Broncos, and it worked out. In the other league, I have Matt Ryan. I'd rather have Matt Ryan going up against the Packers than a sort of sluggish Thursday night contest, which is what it turned out to be. But how would you know? I get a 32-point night that's on the bench for Bortles. So, in general, give me some more thoughts about that game. Derrick Henry actually looked really good.
Yeah, but why did he look good? I guess you got to look into that. DeMarco Murray went out late first half with a foot injury. Derrick Henry got a chance, and the game was a blowout. They didn't need to push Murray again after that, so they gave Henry a lot of carries. Smart play. I would have done the same thing.
Sure.
Why risk your starting back? So I don't think Henry's going to see that kind of action again. It's not like Murray's slowing down. He had another big game. Actually, Murray's had a fantastic season when you think about it.
Absolutely.
So I'm not – I mean, Henry's a nice back, but he's – I'm not a big believer in handcuffs, Mike. You know, not unless I'm drafting a back who I know gets hurt every year and I need the handcuff. I want to draft in today's NFL. I want to draft backs that are going to play. Most teams have a two-back system. They're going to play. Henry's going to play, so he does have value. But to me, it's still more of a bye week filler. But as I've been joking about with Scott Engel on the Old School Fantasy, I've had to start Lance Dunbar in a league a week or two because I've been so in bye weeks or injuries have killed my running back core. And in most leagues, I didn't draft running back heavy.
Yeah. So in our Joe's B Pros league, I followed exactly the route that you're talking about. I focused on wide receivers because it's a full point PPR league. That's the league where I had Brady and Eifert that I drafted. I hung on to both of them for the whole season. And it's handcuffed me in a lot of ways. Different use of the term handcuff. But in this instance, I had to play Derrick Henry because Todd Gurley's on a bye. I got lucky. I had a 20-point night out of Derrick Henry, and it works out for me. So to those of you that had to start Derrick Henry because of bye weeks like I did, congrats. To those of you who started DeMarco Murray, you still got a good night out of it. Yeah, it probably would have been a 30-point kind of night if things weren't so lopsided, but they were. So on that front, talking about the Titans for a second, and something I want to talk about of the game as a whole, Mariota, he looked great. Now, it's difficult for us to judge because of what you said. The Jaguars were completely listless. In my estimation, it's the worst half of football I've seen any NFL team play this year was that first half Jaguars played.
We haven't seen every half. I don't care about that.
True, but it's the worst that I've seen. So,
where was the defense?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, where was it?
They were non-existent. Mariota was brilliant, but against a defense that didn't seem to be particularly motivated.
Didn't seem to care.
18 of 22, 270 and two scores for Mariota. So it brings me my question about this game. How do you feel about both of these QBs going forward? Do you think we're going to get the same kind of run we got out of Bortles because the team is so bad? They'll just be trailing every game? That's one. And two, Mariota's actually been pretty sharp now for about a month. So do you like him as a regular starter for some people going forward?
Well, you start with Bortles and Jacksonville first. Once again, I think Tony and I talked about this yesterday, or maybe Jake and I actually. Look at their schedule coming up. KC, Houston, because they get Detroit, Buffalo, Denver, Minnesota, Houston again, Tennessee again. That's not good. And that's not good with Jacksonville. And I think the problem is none of those teams, with the exception of maybe Detroit, is going to put up 35 points where they're going to be throwing a lot in the second half. I think they may lose most of these games, but they may be within 10 points.
It makes it the most difficult part of playing against the Broncos, right? They kick field goals all day,
right,
and they're never pushing it to a three-touchdown
lead. You don't have to throw left and right or throw 40 times a game.
They don't let you.
So that's a problem. Like I said, none of these games, outside of that Detroit game, are going to be big-time points, it looks like, for Jacksonville. Like I said, Minnesota, Denver, you're playing two of the best defenses in the league. Houston twice, they're not bad. So that's a problem. You know, I think you don't want to get fooled. If you didn't watch the game Thursday, you don't want to just look at the stats and go, oh, Bortles is great again.
It's the most misleading box score.
Right. So I think you want to realize, I think it's time to let go here. And that also means it may be time to let go of Robinson. And by saying let go, I mean you're not going to just release him, but maybe you want to sit him now. If you were on the fence before, you may have been pushed over now. This schedule is pretty difficult defensively. And if they can't do it against weaker teams, I don't see how they're going to do it against stronger teams. I think Tennessee is sort of the opposite here. When you have a strong running game, you know teams are putting that eighth man in the box. So that's going to give you more one-on-one opportunities. Now, they don't have any great wide receivers. You know, trying to guess who's going to have the big game, Kendall Wright, Rashad Matthews, they're reserve guys. Guys you're going to plug in every now and then if you're desperate. But their schedule is still better. I mean, San Diego next week. Green Bay, who's had problems against the stop in the past. Indianapolis, who can't stop anybody. Chicago's got issues. Then it gets a little tougher during really fantasy playoffs, which is unfortunate when they play Denver, KC, weeks 14 and 15.
If you can get to that championship game, though,
you worry about that.
I'm just saying, if you can get to that championship
Jacksonville
game,
Jacksonville again.
They play Jacksonville.
But this is the problem. They're always going to be a running team. So you need Mariota to run.
Yeah.
You need him to get you a touchdown on the ground, which I mean, you need Mariota to run 40, 60 yards, get you that 4 to 6 points to truly be valuable.
Yeah.
And if Murray keeps eating it up and now Henry starts to play well too, they're not going to put the ball in the air all that much, especially when you look at these games. As I brought them up, you know, they're outdoor games. With the exception of Indianapolis, which is good, the outdoor game, Chicago in week 12, not going to be the nicest weather, I imagine. So that could be an issue as well.
Right. So, you know, that you brought up an interesting point about Kendall Wright. He's a guy I have in my Dynasty League. It's a full-point PPR league. I've now missed out on him twice. It's difficult for me to say that he's a better option than some of the other guys I have, which are Doug Baldwin and Mike Crabtree and Terrell Pryor, and I'm missing somebody there. But I've now sat him twice. He has a really nice game the other night, mainly because of the one big play, but he did make some other nice catches. So I just wonder if the start of a little bit of a Kendall Wright resurgence. Delanie Walker has really average night the other night, unfortunately. They actually used him on an end around the other night, which is crazy. You don't see that too much out of a tight end. But in any event, Mariota looked great. It's a little difficult to judge him. But to George's point, that schedule is really light coming up. I think you'll see him used a ton in DFS going forward with the Chargers, Packers, Colts, and Bears coming up before their bye week in week 13. So beyond that, Jaguars, no running game still. Chris Ivory, TJ Yeldon owners, you know, that's a miss this year. I don't think you're going to get much out of it. I think you're just going to bench those guys and start them in desperate weeks like this. I had to play Chris Ivory because CJ Anderson got hurt. I think he got me 2.2 points. So
I played Chris Ivory in a league. He's one of the most disappointing players to me. It's the top five leading rusher last year.
They gave him $30 million.
And they're not using him. They don't know how to use him. He's not getting anything. What was this general illness that he had? Or general medical condition he had in before the season started that kept him out 2 weeks? Because whatever this is, seems to have zapped everything out of him.
Yeah, so enough about that game. The Jaguars defense, which people had expectations for, it's a year too early at least. The last thing I'll say on this game is Gus Bradley is now 14-41, and he actually got a sort of a reprieve from the owner. So moving forward,
that might be an 8-week reprieve. He's not lasting to next year.
Yeah, I he won't be the coach in 2017. I think it's just a matter of
14-41.
That's right, 14-41. He had the worst record of any coach through three NFL seasons, and now it's gotten worse. So they are 2-5 now, I believe. Is that right? 2-5 on the year for the Jags. So you know,
that whole division's a mess.
It is. It is. We knew that going in. We talked to all four of the beat writers or beat reporters. We talked to beat reporters from all four of the AFC South teams going in, and to a man, not one of them was confident about their team's chances, and we can see why, because it's been called the AFC soft in the South, in AFC soft in the past, and we can see why. There's not one team that's really head and shoulders, and to be honest, the team that's kind of looking the best right now is Tennessee, especially with a soft schedule coming up. So a buddy of mine who I compete with in these over-unders on the year has Tennessee over 5.5, and I have to say that's looking pretty good right now. So back to the task at hand, which is trying to figure out exactly who we're going to play and who we're going to sit this week in Week 8. The bye weeks, like I said, Baltimore, St. Louis, Miami, the Giants, Steelers, and Niners. Now, big injuries, obviously, C.J. Anderson, he's on injured reserve, meniscus issues, so that's a huge blow. We have Jamal Charles out, LeSean McCoy likely out. Matt Jones is out. Jordan Reed is, as you said, he's made the trip. We expect him to possibly play. The Seahawks have a couple of big defenders out in Michael Bennett and Cam Chancellor. Lamar Miller is listed as a game time. George, you think he's going to play. Tevin Coleman is listed as out, and the Jets, frankly, are hurt all over playing the Browns. So amongst those, we have a few guys that we're looking to play, looking to pivot from. So in Washington, it looks like Rob Kelly's going to get that start with Chris Thompson filling in the same way he always does. He got more carries than we've ever seen him get last week, but he's a solid PPR option. What do you do with this Washington running game? Are you avoiding it because they're playing the Bengals in London?
Yeah, I don't think you know if you can avoid it because most of us need a running back, and you're not going to pass up a starting running back in Ray Kelly. Rob Kelly. I don't know why I keep saying Ray Kelly. Is there a Ray Kelly somewhere?
Yeah, police commissioner in New York
City. Is that what it was? Is that why I keep saying Ray?
That's right.
I don't even live in New York City. But yes, that must be where I hear I do read the newspapers. So that must be
former.
It is former. Is he in trouble, too?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he is, yeah. All right, whatever. As far as Rob Kelly, I mean, you mentioned it. Bengals, not the greatest game here. I don't see a big game happening here. Standard League, I'm interested. PPR League, I'll go Thompson if I had to choose between the two. I think it's a rough game tomorrow. Since I think Cincinnati is not a great defense. They're not Denver. They're not Minnesota. But they're a good defense. I don't think Washington's going to be able to go up and down the field on them, especially on the ground here. But as I said, running back, starting running back, they're all valuable. You can't say, oh, I don't care. And you also have to wonder, listen, Matt Jones has problems. It's not just this knee injury that's hurting him. He's put the ball on the ground quite a few times now. If Kelly has a big game tomorrow, who's to say he doesn't keep that starting job? You know, we've been playing up Kelly for a while now anyway, that he was a sleeper coming into the season. If he were able to get, I don't know, 95 yards tomorrow, a touchdown or two, he could easily supplant Jones as a starter. And keep in mind, Washington is off next week, though, so you might want to keep that in mind. You might want to keep his, if you were bidding fab, which you've probably already done anyway, but if you were to give up your number one waiver wire claim, He's really maybe just a one-week guy.
Yeah, so we have a lot of these situations this week. And we're saying Lamar Miller's game time. Like George and I were talking before the show, Miller's likely to play, but this could change in the next 24 hours. Then you have a similar guy, Alfred Blue. Alfred Blue's just holding a spot, right? So that you have the Texans going up against the Lions at home. And Alfred Blue is... Frankly, he'd be an option if Lamar Miller is out, right? Same kind of scenario?
Of course. I think Blue would be a better option if Miller's out because there's really nobody else there to steal touches from him. Thompson is going to steal touches from Kelly.
Yeah.
You can make an argument in a PPR league, Thompson's the better player. Because as much as I don't think Kelly's going to have a good day on the ground, I think Cousins can dump the ball off, and I think that'll be to Thompson. Maybe it's third down, passing situations, whatever it is. And I think he could catch 3-4 balls, get a handful of carries. You know, I think Kelly is the goal line guy. So if that means anything to you. But like I said, PPR leagues, which is generally all the leagues I play in, I'd rather have Thompson.
Right. So Tevin Coleman's another guy that's been pretty valuable. He's out, already declared out. Then you're going to have Devontae Freeman. He's just going to see a huge workload tomorrow against the Packers. Anybody else there in the backfield that you think could steal touches?
Nope.
So it's Devontae Freeman's show.
Although I think Freeman's value tomorrow comes more in the air, though. At the Green Bay, decent run defense. Yes, they got crushed by Dallas, but other than that, I think that was more of an outlier than a sign of things to come. I think Freeman's value will be coming catching balls out of the backfield. He'll get his yardage that way. They'll use the short passing game as their running game.
Yeah, I think that's actually what's so dynamic about that Atlanta backfield is they have two guys that can catch the ball so well. They can do a lot of different things with them. At times, they may not jump off the page with you, with Coleman and Freeman, but once you start seeing them catch passes, they're a pretty impressive duo. So Devontae Booker is obviously going to be, if he hadn't been picked up in your leagues leading up to a couple of days ago, he's 100% owned now, and he's a guy whose matchup is
running back
primo.
One.
That's right. He goes right near the top of the list as far as guys that you want to own. He's looked good, really, in his time running the ball. And now he's got a sweet matchup.
He's more of a breakaway threat than C.J. Anderson was. He's got speed.
Yeah. So Devontae Booker was a guy that was pretty heavily coveted in dynasty leagues that sort of you and I play in. He was drafted very high. People looking towards the future. I didn't think that he'd be able to supplant Anderson that easily. This is an injury, so it's a different scenario altogether. But I think you'll see a lot.
Anderson was put on IR. Anderson's done.
Right.
I know some people were I saw in some leagues yesterday people were claiming Anderson. This is before he's put on IR, hoping that 2 to 8 weeks, I originally saying. Well, that ain't happening. You can let him go in redraft leagues. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a done deal. I mean, we're in week 8.
For the playoffs, he's not going to help you unless you have a league that counts the playoffs. And I know some of those leagues, Mike.
Right.
In that case, okay. You have an IR slot. Fine.
Yeah.
But other than that, move on.
Yeah. It's unfortunately, C.J. Anderson's fantasy prospects for this year are done. So beyond that, Tevin Coleman, LeSean McCoy. Give me a minute on LeSean McCoy. What do you expect there? And frankly, going up against the Pats, is anybody valuable in this backfield?
Well, it was a huge mistake last week by Ryan. All right, and he could say, oh, the medical doctor's cleared, and we all knew he shouldn't have played. Now, McCoy's doubtful tomorrow, so I think the situation is going to be much better for fantasy owners. I expect him to be out.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go through this again. I also wonder how hurt McCoy is now. You know, if Rex really messed things up here by playing him, where he may be able to play next week, but maybe he's still not 100%. Maybe he can't cut on a dime anymore. That's really where his value lies. So
it's literally his Twitter handle is cut on dime 25.
That's why I brought it up. So I'm going to wonder that. And they play Seattle next week. Not the greatest team to run against anyway. Then they have a bye.
Mm-hmm.
So now you may not really have McCoy now for 3 weeks. And you didn't have him last week either. So you may not have him for 4 weeks.
That's right.
Not good news there. So anyway, getting back to tomorrow's game, though. As long as McCoy is out, Gillislee's a low-end running back, too. You know, He's a little banged up. I like him in PPR leagues. I think they're going to be trailing. You look at Buffalo. They have no weapons left. McCoy gone. Watkins is already gone. Woods is banged up. And not that he's a major weapon, but he's gone. So Gillislee would be a good play in PPR league. I think a lot of dump-off passes are coming. That's where he'll get some value. But I don't think he's a major play. He's not Booker. Running back one.
Sure.
He's not that. He's a low-end running back two. I think he'll do some damage. But I'm really only interested in a PPR standard league. Really depends on what else you have on your roster.
Right. So we'll dive into these games a little bit deeper, but we want to come up with those highlights because these injuries are really important for people that maybe weren't paying attention during the week or trying to figure out exactly how they can pivot, how they can get to waiver wire at the last second and pick somebody up. I think Mike Gillislee is probably owned in most leagues. In some of your leagues where maybe not everybody's paying attention, Mike Gillislee is a guy that you can pick up. But I'd like you to give us a call today if you're listening at 844-843-6879. That's 844-FNTSY. We're going to have Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks and the Bleacher Report coming up at 9 a.m. We'll be talking about IDPs. I'm going to ask him some regular fantasy questions because the injuries are too great now. It's critical mass. The running back position, like we see many years, is a mess right now. Those guys that you've drafted, that you relied on in the first, in the second, in the third rounds, they're gone. Can't even use them anymore. So what are we going to do? Do you keep loading up at these spot start running backs out of desperation? Or do you pivot and try to bolster your wide receiving core through a trade? So we will, after us today at 10 o'clock is College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Chiarmonello, but it's going to be George and I until 10 o'clock. Hit us up at Fantasy. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. That's at Fantasy Radio. And it's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. And we'll be taking you all the way till 10 o'clock, trying to sift through the maelstrom of injuries and bye weeks that have beset us in week 8. And, George, first thing I wanted to do is give you some props because we played against each other in our Joe's B Pros League, which is 10 of the Roto Experts plus Roto Experts slash Fantasy Sports Network Experts against two non-experts, I guess you would call them, one of whom is our very own Michael Cardano's son. And George and I faced off last week, and he took me behind the woodshed, just beat me up. Just a huge week for George. It puts us both at 3-4 on the year. We both have a pretty high point total, but we're looking up at the playoffs. So, George, kudos to you. I know you didn't know you were playing me because you don't really care who the opponent is, but you did beat me.
No, and no one should. I think people worry about it. I get questions like that all the time. Oh, you know, I got Brady and whatever. I got Brady and White, but he's got Edelman. You know, do I start this guy because of it? No. I never look who I'm playing. The only reason I knew I was playing you because you said it last week on the show, too, that we were playing each other. I don't look at any league who I'm playing. It doesn't matter. I don't care who they're starting. I'm not going to change my defensive game plan because Mike's starting this guy or that guy. So and I play a lot of leagues, too, so I don't have enough time. Even if I knew, I wouldn't remember what league it's in anyway.
Yep.
So I rarely look at who I'm playing. Now, if we're talking, you know, maybe we get close to the playoffs, I may be a little bit more curious to see what chance I have of winning, of getting into the playoffs, if I need a game to get in here. But this is one of those leagues that's frustrating. I'm 3-4. Yeah, I'm second with leagues in points four behind Ronas. So, you know, it works out both ways. I mentioned the other league we play in, the Dynasty League. I'm 7-0, yet I'm nowhere near the top in points four.
That's right. So, yeah, I was going to talk about that in a second. George is undefeated in our Dynasty League. It's probably the most competitive league I'm in, and George is somehow 7-0. You and I have about the same amount of points in that league. We're in different conferences. But
I've had some bigger weeks the past couple of weeks to get up there.
Yeah, you did. You did. You lit it up last week. So George actually had the high score against me last week in that one league. Not too much I could do about it. He got a huge week, 162 points.
Is there anything worse, though, when you play in a head-to-head and you have the second highest point total for the weekend? And you played the top guy.
Yeah,
that's why I like those leagues that give that play doubleheaders. I like that.
So it's interesting that you brought it. It's interesting you brought this up because I was talking to somebody yesterday who was just sort of asking me about the show and asking about his league and is there anything he could do because he's in a similar situation to what you're talking about where he has a ton of points on the year but he finds himself at 3-4 and he's in like eighth place. And he said a lot of people are getting frustrated in our league. How can we pivot off of that? How can we possibly adjust that in any way? And I said, well, here's an idea. And to your point, you play head-to-head, and you get a point for that each and every week. Now, if you're in a 12-team league...
You play pretty much two games every week.
Yeah, and if you're in a head-to-head league, you effectively take those point totals, you rank them 1 through 12 in the given week,
top
and the
six
top
get
six
another win.
Also get a W. So you can rack up the Ws. Now, if I go 12-0 in our, or 13-0 in our regular season, and I'm in the top six every week, I rack up, I would rack up an extra 13 points. I'd have 26 points. It's the maximum that you can get. So to those people looking for something different to do, or you're getting frustrated by the guy who went 8-5 and is the lowest scoring team in the league and he made it in, and conversely you're 6-7 but you have the second highest point total and you're out, that's one way to do it. I'm in other leagues too where, say, there's 12 teams and six make the playoffs. Top four can make it. The last two spots go to the highest remaining point total.
So I like, and I like that as well.
I think that's kind of the easiest way to do that.
It takes some of the luck out of it.
Yeah. I think some of you that come in fifth place and you find yourself out of the mix will be frustrated, but what do you want me to tell you? Get a higher scoring team next year.
Played in the league, one of my home leagues, 2 years ago. I had the second highest point total. My obviously a friend of mine had the highest point total. Neither one of us made the playoffs. Yeah. 10-team league.
It's brutal.
And 6 teams make the playoffs, and the two highest point totals didn't make it. That's just it's weird. I've never heard of the top two. I've heard of the top one. I've been in the top one a couple
of
times.
That's a huge anomaly.
But the top two is that's strange.
Yeah.
And you want to start pulling your hair out and wanting to jump off the bridge.
Yeah. But going back to your earlier point, and for those of you listening, you probably have heard this a million times, but don't ever look at the opponents and pivot off of that.
You can look, but don't make decisions based on what they're doing.
You have one goal. Score the most points possible for your team.
Don't care
that
where my
it.
Points come from as long as I get my points.
And I also say, I think you need to focus on doing that every week if you're going to sort of step your game up to the next level. Some people will mail it in if they're playing a team. Like, listen, unfortunately, even in this Joe B. Pros League, one of our experts is checked out. He didn't show
up. Just checked out during the draft.
He didn't show up for the draft. You know what the irony is? He's 1-6. Guess who he beat?
You?
That's right.
Oh, that's not good. He's playing me this week.
That's right. He started 3 inactive guys, but he got huge weeks from 3 others, and I just had one of those bottom-out weeks. Everybody on the team bailed, and I think I lost like 70-64, and that's in a league where like 120 is where you want to be. We were both well below the average, but I lost. I think it was week 2 or week 3.
I'm looking at him here. I am playing. Oh, yeah, he's doing the same thing this week. Right now he's got two bye week guys in there.
He hasn't made a waiver wire transaction this season.
He's checked out.
Safe to say he's checked out.
And that's annoying.
I think Scott Engel has made like 35 waiver wires, which is maybe a new record through 8 weeks. But in any event, our one expert is
somebody
checked
I think
out.
I made higher than that. I'm just looking at it. I never look at these things, but now that you said it, waiver 24, 32. Someone's made, I don't know, they have weird names. The Kai Forbath.
That's Scott Engel.
Fan Club. So he's made 32.
So Scott Engel changed his team name in this league to the Kai Forbath Fan Club.
Oh, because Mike.
Because Cardano, our esteemed colleague, started Kai Forbath in week 1, despite him not being on an NFL roster. Will Lutz had taken the job from Kai Forbath right before cuts. Cardano didn't realize that. Started Kai Forbath, and Scott Engel is now trolling.
I think
him
Scott
on the air.
Wants to take this league seriously because him and Mike have a thing.
That's
and
right.
Mike was always chiding him.
That's right.
He's made 32 moves. Greg.
To be fair, Mike Cardano's team name is Beat Engel's team. He's got one goal.
What's your team name here?
I'm Joe Buck Light.
No, I'm just George Kurtz, by the way. Joe Bucklett. So you've only made 11. I've only made 5 moves. I made the least amount in the league.
I'm a typically kind of a patient guy when it comes
Same
to
here.
This. Like of the 32 waiver wire moves that Scott's made, and I don't criticize him in any way because he's 5-2. But how many have been impactful? I don't really know. Probably less than half of that. So
he's a tinker.
I do think my team is legit, but I would need Gurley to be something going down the stretch. And Henry,
I think that's happening.
Yeah, but my receivers are good. They've been good all year. Granted, I'm not getting as much as I want out of Amari Cooper, or Jeremy Maclin for that matter. But Larry Fitzgerald's been good. Randall Cobb is back in business. I got Willie Snead on the bench. I have depth there. Plus Tom Brady at quarterback. And how about Tyler Eifert? What do we think? He's finally back. I'm finally playing him.
Well, he was on a pitch count last week. Right, he didn't play very much. I think it was just a tip your foot in the water there. Get a little game action. And I think he's fine this week. I think if you have him, you're starting him.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think they're sending him to London. Is the game in London? Wherever it is in England.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're sending him to England just to hang out there.
Yeah, they don't play in
snap.
Like the suburbs of London, George. They're not like going up to Scotland.
I meant is they went to Wickenham
last
week.
Stadium.
Maybe
That's
it's
right.
another part of England.
It's Wembley. It's the biggest stadium they have.
When I say New York City, I don't want to say New York and it's up in Buffalo.
Jersey.
Right, they don't even play in New York anymore. So, which probably still bothers me. Probably because I'm not a Giant or Jet fan. Only one New York team, that's Buffalo. Anyway, I think Eifert's playing. I think you have – now, listen, you could have Eifert, and maybe you draft him late in your draft, and you have Kyle Rudolph, or you have Jimmy Graham. I could see that happening, too, because Graham was drafted late, in which case I'm starting Jimmy Graham.
My other tight end is Hunter Henry, who's banged up and playing the Broncos, so it's an easy one for me.
That decision's easy, yeah. Henry, though, I think is going to be fine. People are worried about Hunter Henry. He's going to play. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about
the matchup.
Antonio Gates still is. He has split some snaps, but Henry himself is going to play. But as for Eifert, in most situations, I think you're safe to play him. Whether he's going to have a good game or not, I don't know, but he's going to be a full-time player. So I'll start Eifert.
This is the shot this week. You have to take a shot with Eifert now.
Keep in mind, Washington are one of the better teams against the tight end, if
unfortunately,
you believe in those stats.
Unfortunately, Washington is very good against tight ends thus far this year, but I'm willing to take a shot, especially because Eifert has historically for the Bengals, when he's on the field, which isn't all that often, has been a big threat for red zone.
That's
targets.
What he is, yes.
So last year, 13 touchdowns, and I think it was on 14 red zone targets or end zone targets. So very efficient there. Not something you can expect him to duplicate, but I think Dalton will try to use him down there and get him in the mix. Brandon LaFell, to talk about this game in general, Brandon LaFell has been on a nice run here for the Bengals. He got Josh Norman banged up. A.J. Green obviously has been brilliant at times this year and is a top three wide receiver on the year so far. So you like this game for Dalton? I mean, I tend to like quarterbacks going up against this Washington defense for the last couple of years because, frankly, their defensive secondary isn't up to snuff. They don't cover people well on the outside. Despite the addition of Josh Norman, they still struggle in that regard. So what is your outlook this week for Washington?
All right, well, Norman made the trip, so he's going to play as well, if you're worried about that. So he'll play. How well he'll play is anyone's guess. We know he won't follow A.J. Green all over the place.
I mean, you have him as a bottom five defense this week.
Do I really?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I'm not thrilled. I thought bottom five, I may have to tweak that a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm not. I'm certainly, they're not a good defense. Yeah. But they're not the New Orleans Saints or Indianapolis Colts either. The problem, probably because I didn't know if Norman was going to make the trip when I wrote that column.
Sure.
That's what I was worried about. I think Cincinnati's hot. They're playing well. I think they're going to feature A.J. Green. I think they're going to test Norman early, find out where he's at. You know, it's a concussion. I certainly would. I think they also may run right at him and try everyone sweeps that way with Jeremy Hill and the like. Cincinnati, they're a strange team. They have all the weapons, right? I mean, you have A.J. Green. You have a solid running game with Gio and Hill. Eifert's back. It really is on. Is Dalton hot that week, or is he not so much hot? I think Dalton is a low-level play this week. I think he could be a streamer in some leagues. If, we have about six teams on bye. You know, maybe you're starting Eli. You know, and you need somebody else. Dalton could be a cover there. Although
I have Dalton. I have Dalton and Andrew Luck in our one dynasty league, the new one that we started. Who would you play? Luck, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. You know, some people like the Chiefs' defense. I don't. I thought they were going to be good this year. They
I'm sitting Andrew Luck at home against pretty much anybody.
I sat him last week. Unfortunately, I played Dalton over Luck. They played the Browns. The Bengals did.
Who did Indianapolis play?
I'll have to look it back
up
while you're talking. Yeah, I'll look it up for you.
You need a slap for that.
Why?
You don't sit Andrew Luck for Andy Dalton ever.
It's the first time I did it this year. I liked Dalton going up against the Browns. Thank God for that Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
It saved me.
Saved me and saved a lot of DFS
funny.
People.
I was watching that.
They played the Titans.
Still, I don't sit Luck ever. Okay. Still, what am I thinking? Oh, it's new when Andy Dalton threw out that Hail Mary. This is a good Hail Mary. For somebody, it looked like a good Hail Mary. He threw it perfectly. I'm like, oh, A.J. Green's going to catch this. Oh, he did. Shocking.
It's crazy.
He's an amazing wide receiver. Had a one-handed grab in that game as well.
Yes.
We don't really need to talk about Green. He's a must-start always as well. I just wonder, when will the Bengals put it all together on offense?
So this is an interesting question because this is what I was going to lead to in this game. They did have a really rough schedule to start the season. They played at the Jets, which they won by a point. Then they played at the Steelers. They had the Broncos, the Dolphins, which is an easy one. Then they played at Dallas. They got whipped up against
Dallas. But that's really not rough. When you think about it, Jets ended up being terrible. Steelers,
true.
Okay. Denver,
they
okay.
Beat the Dolphins.
Dolphins, bad.
And then it's at New England. I'm just saying of their first six games, there were...
And Dallas wasn't supposed to be good.
But they are now,
yeah.
So you could trade out the Jets for Dallas. So they had, Steelers, Broncos, Dallas, Patriots. That's tough in the first 6 weeks as we look at it this season. And they lost, frankly, all four of those games that I just mentioned. They beat the Dolphins and the Jets, are the two bad
which
teams.
Which should tell you something.
And they beat the Browns. So now they are 3-4. They, unfortunately, they're losing all the games to the good teams, but they're in a couple of those. They're in the Broncos game a little bit. They were in the Steelers game for certain. And now they play Washington before they head into a bye. So my point, overarching point here is, they could get on a run here. They beat Washington. Then they go to the Giants. They get the Bills, Ravens, Eagles, Browns, Steelers again, Houston, Baltimore. That's not a tough schedule.
It's not easy, though, right? It's not like you can't say they're going to run off a whole bunch of wins there. They can't.
Not necessarily. But if they're good, as we expected that they would be, maybe this is time for a run. And do you think that it is for them?
No. Because I think they'll good chance they'll win tomorrow. But then you're playing with Giants. Granted, they're a healthy skeletal team, but they're coming off a bye. That's always tough, and it's in New York. Buffalo won't be a picnic. McCoy should be back by then. You know, so they're healthy. Maybe some of their other weapons as well. Baltimore's always that divisional game. That's an issue. Philadelphia, we've seen them play well. Cleveland's a win. Pittsburgh, Ben is back by then. That won't be easy.
Right.
Houston, Baltimore, getting to finish up. I wouldn't say it's an overly difficult schedule, but it's certainly not a schedule where I can say you're going to win 7 of 9. 7 of 10.
And to your point about Andy Dalton, I think he's in and out of the lineup depending on who that other option is. This isn't a plug and play for Andy Dalton type of stretch.
Dalton's been good in fantasy before.
Yeah.
But it's hard to trust him week in, week out. Listen,
do you think the Eifert addition is
it has to help. Right? You mentioned the red zone plus it gives something else a defense to worry about.
Yep.
So it has to help. The running game's been good this year.
Yeah.
So you can't blame that. AJ Green is AJ Green. You mentioned LaFell, who's actually the last couple of weeks played very well.
Absolutely.
So it makes you wonder what the problem. I saw the game in Dallas. They didn't show up. That whole team just didn't show up. That was strange. You know. So
that was 28-0 at one point.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Because it did look like they were interested. Like it was like a week 17 game. They'd already clinched.
It was one of the more shocking games I've seen this year. I remember going into it being like Cincinnati's going to right this ship here against Dallas, and then they weren't even in it.
I guess listen, teams that happens during the year. Every team generally lays an egg.
It does.
But it was strange to watch them there. But that's how Cincinnati is, though. They never seem to put it together, especially for long stretches of time. Certainly not important games. What's been the joke with them? They can't win primetime games, and obviously the playoffs, they've been a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon LaFell, 4 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, 8 of 68, 2 of 13, 4 of 83. So not an overwhelming number of catches there, but you get in the end zone four times.
Yeah.
I just wonder if his value's depleted because of the Eifert addition, especially in a 2 for 13 for 1 touchdown type of game.
But then again, teams are going to be double covering A.J. Green. He's going to see single coverage against a weaker cornerback. So now he's taking advantage of it. But Dalton is still going to look Green's way first, and then he's going to look Eifert. And then maybe even dump off the Geo maybe next before he even gets to LaFell.
Yeah. Going back to Washington, you talked about the Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson thing earlier. It's going to be dependent on who is in your lineup and who you're comparing him to. You probably have to use some of these guys in a spot start with all these buys and injuries. But beyond that, receivers, Kirk Cousins, what do you think there?
Well, Cousins, probably not a play this week. Streamer-wise, I think you can probably do better. Fitzpatrick for one. I know it's hard to bring his name back up. We said Dalton could be a streamer this week, depending on...
But nobody believes in Ryan Fitzpatrick, George.
He's playing Cleveland. All right.
The coaches don't believe in him.
You know, stop throwing interceptions and we might believe in you.
The GM doesn't believe in him.
I have no problem with players going off on sometimes. Ryan, look at your stats, buddy. Do you remember the 6 interceptions versus KC? The 3 the next week?
I was listening to Tim Hasselbeck this week, and he's like, dude, you threw 6 interceptions in 1 game.
And then the next day, heat of the moment.
Nobody believes in you. You're right.
I understand players can go off. Heat of the moment. We've all done that. If you play sports, you've all been angry after the game, whatever, and you say things you don't mean. The next day, he says it again pretty much. He backs, oh, no, I meant to say what. Really? Aren't you an Ivy League guy?
There's the nail going. That is the sound of the nail going into the coffin of his Jets career.
But that just drives me. Well, yeah, I think that's been done anyway. But that drives me insane about athletes when they do that. When you have a day to reflect and you still won't admit you made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. All right. Your numbers are horrific. You deserve to be replaced by Geno Smith. You're lucky he got hurt or you wouldn't have a starting job anymore.
This is a nice tangent. George has got George going with Fitz. Fitz
just,
magic.
It just makes me angry.
Fitz tragic.
Fitz. Fitz pick, right? What if it's Fitzpatrick? Fitzpatch pick. Oh, I can't even say it, man. That's tough. That's tough. But the Jets, you know, he's got a shot here, though. Cleveland. He's got a tough one against Miami next week. That'll be an interesting game. Those teams, it's an interesting game every year anyway. You know, he's got the Rams, another chance there, New England, Indianapolis, San Fran, Miami again. I mean, he's got a chance here to be a streamer's delight more than 1 week here. So He can make us forget about this. Yeah.
So back to Washington. We're done. Cousins is not the play.
Cousins,
this week.
No. Jordan Reed's back, and I'm starting him.
Okay.
If Jordan Reed starts, he starts for me. It's really that simple. DeSean Jackson, I would say no, depending on what else you have. Garcon's actually a more interesting play for me, but no, really no upside there.
I just Crowder.
Crowder's a guy I'd be much more. But was his value going up the past couple of weeks because Reed was out?
That's right.
Were those targets going to him?
It was.
So that would worry me about him. I'm not, in other words, outside of Jordan Reed, tell you what, the whole offense outside of Reed, I'm not all that interested in.
Okay. We'll get to some more games after the break. We've got Seahawks, Saints is an important game to talk about. We got Pats, Bills, and we'll continue to talk about more games. And definitely hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio and on the phone at 84FNTSY. It's Mike and George, Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back after this. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hit us up at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. Give us a call at 844-843-6879. We'll walk through your lineup questions, your commiseration, your throwing. You want to eat your hat.
That was an interesting musical choice, by the way.
We
were getting 70s car chases, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it sounded like Carlos Santana.
You know, Tony Sincotta, Cha-Cha, and I yesterday are arguing, I should say arguing, debating, should Tupac Shakur be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I can see him getting in, sure, yeah. He's an impactful hip-hop artist.
Yeah, but it's the Rock and
Roll. So I have a thought on this.
Rock and Roll.
I know you're going to say that. So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think personally, the term rock and roll, I think has evolved over the years, and I think it's more of a cultural term than it is specific to a type of music. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does include artists from different genres. The Beastie Boys are in there. You have people from all different walks of life.
Rock and roll is a genre.
I get it, but the term rock and roll, rock music.
Just call it the Music Hall of Fame then.
That's fine. If you want to change it, you can go to Cleveland and start a petition. What are you going to do? You're going to be busy in between the Indians celebrating, but in any event, I do think that rock and roll as a term is more of a cultural term and encompasses all kinds of music.
By the way,
well, they're celebrating today. They may not be celebrating after tomorrow, but
I actually
like Indians' chances. Let's talk baseball for a minute. So 1-0 last night, tough game, could have gone either way, obviously, but Cubs hitters got dominated again. So now they're in big trouble, because Kluber was on fire the other night, and they're down 2-1, and they got to face Corey Kluber, who actually didn't pitch a full game the other night, but he was dominant while he was in there.
He threw 80 play. He pitched a full
80, 88 pitch. I'm just saying he didn't get to, like, the eighth inning. They didn't just have
no pitchers getting to the eighth inning. These, I mean, both got, you realize last night, they both pulled before the fifth inning.
Tomlin didn't have a high pitch
count
at all.
And they gave no runs.
Right?
Neither pitcher gave a run, yet they were pulled before the fifth inning.
That's right. Hendricks was in trouble in each inning, or he didn't have any clean innings. Tomlin was sharp, and at the first sign of trouble, he took him out. And you got to be honest, like, everything Francona is touching this postseason turns to gold. It was the right move. He brings in Andrew Miller in the fifth inning.
The Yankees didn't get enough from Miller.
They got as much as they possibly could.
I know.
And now the guy's the best reliever I've ever seen.
Well, Francona's using him. He knows his players. He's having a great postseason. Mike, I didn't think they'd beat Boston in the...
Every move he makes.
The division series, more or less, get this far.
Every move he makes.
It's gold.
It's working out.
He's a hard guy not to like.
Yeah, I know. So, having this debate, I remember where this started. I hope it didn't start in the show, but it was something I was thinking about. It's a friend of mine posed it to me. Who do you think will be remembered... I'll give you the question. Who would be remembered as a bigger impact? Francona for having managed the Red Sox to the World Series and potentially the Indians to the World Series win, or Theo for being the architect in Boston and now potentially Chicago if they win?
Whoever wins.
I'm saying...
Ask me in 5 days.
Well, granted,
it's
whoever,
Theo by far. If if he ends two curses,
yeah,
Boston, you know, the curse of Bambino and the goat thing in Chicago, it's Theo easy.
Sure,
but if Frank
clearly Ona, Theo, nobody's going to care if they don't win this. But
well, once again, you could say since Theo was in Boston at the same time as Francona, they both won. That's cancel each other out. So now you're on to this one. Whoever wins gets it. Now, if you want to ask me...
Who do you think is more important?
Well, right now, it's the manager.
Tito's managing his butt
right,
off.
Right now, it's the manager, but it was Theo who put this team together. It was Theo.
I shouldn't say Tito versus Theo on the radio. It's confusing. I'll say Francona.
But it was, you know, Epstein who put the team together. You know, he traded for Chapman. He also gave up Gleyber Torres was going to be a superstar. He's made the moves he's needed to make. Got Rizzo. Rizzo was a trade as well. He's made some good moves. And he's then supplanted him with veteran pitching. Got Lackey. Signed Lester. You know, Hendricks was really a throwaway by the Rangers. You know, you think of the moves he's made here. All these young players. And they have a load of them. Schwarber, Solar.
I think I heard a stat. Whoever wins will be the youngest team ever to win the World Series. I think both teams would break the record. The youngest average age of all time.
Didn't hear that stat, so I don't know.
I think I heard that.
I'll take your word for it.
We'll have to fact check that because I just threw it out.
Maybe Addison Russell was another trade by Theo. Right there, right now, if Theo's calling you for a trade.
The Russell trade's crazy.
You want to hang up.
The Russell trade is crazy now.
Well, we knew it was We knew it was crazy then.
Yeah, it was
so going for it.
Yeah,
and that's fine. I don't, you know, I get it, but you know, it's a trade you wish you would have, especially if it were a team like the Oakland A's.
Yeah,
you don't want to give up talent like that. Anybody, Jeff Manns posted a funny video, and I retweeted it, of Bill Murray drowning. I mean, it's just so appropriate. I mean, I love Bill Murray. Love the fact that he's a big Cubs fan, goes to the game, goes nuts and all of it. It's an appropriate picture. He's got to be so down right now. I had the Cubs in six, and I didn't think the Indians would have a chance at winning last night. You know, going into Wrigley, the first World Series game there in, 71 years. The crowd's going banana. The crowd was filling up at like 9 hours before game time.
When Grimm got that 6-4, that 4-6-3, I guess it was, double play to end that inning, get out of that jam, that brought the house down. I was like, oh, man, it's over now.
Well, it's not over. I mean,
I thought the game was just, I thought the Cubs were going to have some momentum.
They have to win tonight.
Difficult to score when you don't score any runs.
You do need. But you think about it, once again, going to Francona. He's doing this. Remember, no Carrasco, no Salazar, Bauer, who had a fight with a drone, and not that Bauer was all that great anyway. I mean, you think about all that, and he handled the Bauer thing perfectly.
Yeah.
Most managers, when they hear my number two starter after I lost these other two guys, you know, that had his pinky chopped off by a drone, it would have flipped out. He just makes a joke of it. You know, who hasn't had a drone accident? Great line.
Yeah.
You know, just a great, and he just moves on.
Yeah.
He was fantastic when he's done this. I mean,
both of these managers are known for their ability to just sort of be calm in the face.
Madden is a little different.
Yeah, he's a different egg.
But he was perfect for the team.
Yeah.
And Theo knew that, man. They almost got in trouble for whatever they call it.
Tampering.
Tampering inside of whatever. Almost got in trouble for it, and they probably should have.
They tampered.
But they were right.
I mean, they tampered, and they were right.
They were right.
So there you go. A little baseball on this football show. I think it's important to talk about
it up
since
on the
World
Cubs,
Series. No way. Now it just looks like seven to me. But
I need them to win tonight because I don't want tomorrow to be the starting game. Cowboy fans, Sunday night game. I'll be watching the Dallas game. Not that the World Series game be on there with TV, but if it goes to game six, it's on Tuesday.
I get it.
Got nothing to do Tuesday.
I get it. I totally get that. You're flipping back and forth in a big game like that is not something you want to do.
You got to have multiple TVs, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. But, you know, focusing back and forth, I should say.
Yes.
So Seahawks at Saints. We get back into the football swing of things. Seahawks at Saints. You pull back on the Saints' love a little bit this week, obviously, because you got a big defense coming to town, or are you just saying, you know what, they're in New Orleans, they do what they do?
It's in that dome. Anytime they're playing in that dome, I like the Seahawks. Now, that being said, I think your pullback I like it. I think that's a good way to look at it. I'm starting Breeze, I'm starting Cooks.
Yeah.
All right, there's no doubt about that. And you're starting Ingram. I can't see you having good enough depth at running back to sit Ingram. If you can, God bless you.
I'm in that spot in two leagues, and it's just not what I needed right now is him to play the Seahawks.
He's probably the guy I'm worried about the most.
Me too.
Because they have a good run defense. Maybe
Ingram hasn't been great this year.
That's because Peyton won't use him the way we want him to use him.
I know.
But last week, I think like Peyton purposely used him a lot in the red zone. Now, it may be to make Ingram happy, and maybe also so teams see this and start defending it again. Opens up some other options for him. But it's in the dome. We saw Carson Palmer threw from 300 yards last week. He just couldn't get in the end zone. Sort of bend but don't break.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints are getting the end zone. They will score some touchdowns. I don't know if they're going to score 40 points. I think that's a little asking.
The total is 48, so it's a pretty high total for a game in which the Seahawks are in.
I was thinking 24-20, somewhere around that range,
yeah.
Which is good enough for Breeze, good enough for Cooks. I say Ingram goes. Fleener more than likely goes for you. I think in this one there will be something in PPR leagues. I think I'm worried about the secondary receivers. Snead and Thomas is where I have most of my issues here. But you mentioned Chancellor's out. You know, Sherman's not going to follow Cooks all over the field either. Generally, it's not what he does.
It's the biggest. I can't refer to last Sunday night because it's just, ironically, it's one of the more improbable games I've watched because Chancellor was out. They're able to move the ball because of it. Chancellor and Scott, I've heard Scott say this. You've talked with him about it, and I've listened on air. Chancellor really impacts the way the defense is played for them.
He does.
He's, ironically, you would think of some other high-profile guys like Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and even Michael Bennett, who, frankly, is likely to be out
with a knee injury.
So you maybe look at some of those other guys that are more impactful, Bobby Wagner, but it's really Cam Chancellor that kind of is the glue of that pass defense, and teams are able to move the ball on them when he's out, and he's out yet again. So, but my ultimate point was that, you know, teams are going to be able to move the ball here, especially down the middle of the field. You said Fleener. I think Fleener is normally the Seahawks are a really tough team against tight ends, but in any event, I think Fleener is actually a legitimate option here. Now, offensively, Russell Wilson, not even on the injury report.
I'm much more worried about the Seahawks.
Okay.
Wilson, he's banged up.
All right, but he's not on the injury report.
That means.
I just wonder if we're further enough away from the injury that he's maybe back to being regular Russell Wilson.
I've gotten a lot of questions about Wilson this week, whether it's in the Roto Experts email answer queue or on my Twitter or on the chat, the Roto Experts chat on Tuesday and Thursday. And people go, you know, do I sit Wilson for Winston? Got that a couple of times. But I said Wilson probably for Dalton might have been a question. Stafford was definitely a question a couple of times. I look at it like this. I'm starting Wilson this week. It's against the Saints, and I can't not start anybody against the Saints. I mean, I've been saying it all year. If you have a guy on your roster and you're not starting him against the Saints, either you're very deep at that position or that player should not be on your roster. I think Wilson starts for me this week. If he can't get it done this week, then you have to look at other options. All right, because there is a problem here. He's banged up. I think the knee injury is keeping you from getting outside. The offensive line is poor. Lockett is banged up. He's not doing anything. They have issues. They have figured out how to use Jimmy Graham, and I think Jimmy Graham has a big game big game tomorrow. He's somebody I'm definitely using, but everyone else is going to scare me a little bit. Michael's a definite start here, but Russell Wilson, I'm starting him, but I am worried.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he's the guy that I'm most curious about. He's not on the injury report. I'm thinking maybe he's getting a little bit back to where we need Russell Wilson to be. But as George is saying, there's still a ton of questions about him. So it's a big game for the Seahawks. See if they can keep the winning ways going. 4-1-1, trying to get a 5-1-1 to give them a huge lead potentially. So that's it. First hour down. We got Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks and Bleacher Report coming up after the break. Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Got Gary Davenport joining us here in just a moment. And we're going to walk through all the items related to IDPs and defenses. That's what Gary does here every week. And joining us right now is Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks and from Bleacher Report. Gary, how are you?
Oh, Gary.
No, Gary, just yet. We will get back to him in a moment. But, George, talking about the defenses, you write that article every week on rotoexperts.com. And I would say that you can go to rotoexperts.com, join rotoexperts.com, and find the exclusive Edge package, in-season exclusive Edge package. I think you enter code RADIO for a discount. And George has content in there. I certainly have written there in the past. You got tons of great articles. George breaks down the defenses for you, which we're going to talk to Gary about in a minute. But going back to your article, you have the Saints really is sort of your worst defense, as it is going to be just about every week. You talked about your concerns regarding Russell Wilson. You think the Chiefs are in a good position to take advantage of the Colts, correct?
I mean, yes and no. When you think about the Chiefs, they're still a running team first. We saw it last week. They played the Saints. They didn't take advantage of it there. I mean, we would have thought the same thing. It was at home. I think a good game for Smith, good game for Jerry Maclin. Didn't really happen now, did it? You know, what was the stat we heard this week? Jeremy Maclin is the 133rd ranked receiver in targets in the red zone. 133rd.
He's a frustrating guy because I really thought,
wow.
I was going back to the well with Maclin after last year having a good year. I was going back to the well with Maclin, and it's just not happening. I have him in the lineup just about every week, and every week he's disappointing.
He is, and it's obviously not all his fault. That's just not what their game is. Their game is Spencer Ware. The good news is, hey, Jamaal Charles out tomorrow. Don't have to worry about playing that game. You know it's Spencer Ware left and right. He's the guy you want there. I'm still starting Travis Kelce, of course. But Maclin, he's more of a flex wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. I want to start him, and I probably will, but he's also going to see a whole lot of Vontae Davis.
Got it. So I want to ask you a lineup question because we keep touching on certain guys that I've that are relevant to this week, and it impacts my dynasty lineup. So you talked about Gillislee being a potential option, but I'm not going to bench. Like, here's my option. This is our full-point PPR league. The only running back I'm starting is Mark Ingram. I could start Mike Gillislee, too, if I bench one of the following players. Doug Baldwin, Michael Crabtree, Terrell Pryor, Golden Tate, Jack Doyle.
Well, I think it's who you look at. You could possibly think about sitting there would be, one, Doyle. It is a tough matchup against KC, so that wouldn't be a terrible sit there. And the other one would be Terrell Pryor because of the injury. I think you want to watch that because I always get worried about guys who have hamstring injuries, groin injuries, because I think they'll play through it, but they're not them.
Yeah,
they're more of decoys out there. They can play, but they're human now.
Pryor's just always such an interesting guy, right, because he can do so many different things and going against up against the Jets secondary.
Another thing is, does he have the same chemistry with McCown that he was having with everybody else? It's a mess there. I mean, every week, six quarterbacks this year for Cleveland?
I just don't like Mike Gillislee against the Pats.
It's PPR. It's all about PPR and catching some balls.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's a low-end RB2 at best.
Jack Doyle's a better play now with Allen out. Last week, he had a huge week, which I totally missed on. Just bummed out that
you
I missed out.
You know how it's going to be. They're all the same, and you'll pick the wrong one.
I know. Jack Doyle is I'm as in on Jack Doyle as anybody in this whole freaking industry, and I didn't play him last week in a couple of instances where I could have. So we do have Gary Davenport with us now, so we'll pivot over to
we got him?
IDP questions and defensive liabilities and defensive positivities. Gary, how are you?
Oh, all I can tell you about the Cleveland Browns and Terrell Pryor is that as a fan of the team for the last 30 years, they will murder your joy, sir.
joy.
They really will. They really will. It's a guessing game with them each and every week, but they got Josh McCown back. So Cody Kessler actually acquitted himself pretty nicely over those five games in which he went winless, if that's possible.
He actually did for what he
He was pretty good, right? I mean, do you think they have something there with Kessler after this season where they pivot off McCown and go to Kessler?
I hope that their desperation in a search for a quarterback doesn't lead them to think that perhaps they have a starter in Kessler. I think he could be a very nice NFL backup.
So he could be Josh McCown.
Quarterback.
He could basically be Josh McCown. They have two Josh McCowns on the roster. One's young, one's old.
Well, I think they're going to have a top five pick this year.
Say again, Gary.
Yeah, we are headed back to the drawing board again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Slightly under the salary cap, so they got some room to work with. I think they're $45 million under, so they have some room to work with this offseason. But getting to the task at hand, well, give me a second on the mess that is, because you and I seem to, on Twitter, we always wallow in the despair, then we celebrate the victory. So how, like, what are the Jaguars now? Like, are we going to get, I asked George this earlier, are we going to get Bortles 2015 Bortles in these next 6 to 8 games? The schedule's a little tougher, but are they just going to be trailing every game and Bortles can throw your way back into it?
You know, it's certainly kind of looking that way, and I have expected to see perhaps Gus Bradley get let go after this past game, but it sounds like Shad Khan is essentially going to make him coach out the rest of the season. Like, if Khan has to endure the rest of this dumpster fire of a season, well, then by golly, Gus Bradley's going to have to come to work every day.
Yeah, listen, it's funny that you say that because I remember NFL analysts saying last year, when the Dolphins started letting go every coach that worked on the team, you're paying the guy. Why don't you just make him come to the building every day and deal with it instead of letting him go home and collect the same paychecks to sit on his couch It's funny that you say that because it's reminiscent of me to how the Dolphins started to fall apart and unravel. The Jaguars couldn't have been worse in that first half the other night. So I thought he was going to be let go, but here we are. As George said earlier in the show, maybe it's just another 6 or 8 weeks, but here we are. Gus Bradley's the coach.
Yeah, it was, like you said, that was one of the uglier halves of football. I'm a Browns fan, so I know ugly football. And that was one of the uglier halves of football I've seen in a long time.
Well, let's focus on some of the IDB questions we got this week. We're going up against, you know, we got some interesting matchups. We've got a lot of bye weeks, obviously, that we're having to deal with. We have some pretty key injuries. Seattle, we talked about earlier, with Cam Chancellor still out. We have Michael Bennett is out. Mo Wilkerson of the Jets is still banged up. But we have some guys maybe coming off injury, coming out of their bye weeks that are interesting options. And one of whom, you know, he served a suspension earlier this year. I think the Pats defense has been better than expected by some. And Rob Ninkovich is a guy that you really like this week.
Yeah, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow statistical start since he got back from suspension. That's not all that surprising. I like the matchup against Buffalo. I expect the Patriots to come out just angry, I guess is a good word, Zandy, after that shutout loss at home to the Bills. Now, Ninkovich wasn't on the field for that game, but it doesn't mean he wasn't angry about it because Patriots being the Patriots. Yeah, I like him this week. I like DeMarcus Lawrence, too, who has done nothing since he got back in the lineup for the Dallas Cowboys, but his snap counts have been increasing. He was working his way back from some back problems, too. He's getting healthier, and that's another team that, you know, has a very nice matchup this week.
Well, I hope you're right about the Cowboys there, Gary, seems like I'm the Cowboy fan. I'm going to ask you a question from Midway Fund Center in the Roto Experts email answer queue. He asks IDB questions each and every week. One of the few, by the way, and I know you and I both prefer IDP leagues. So anyway, plays in an IDP, 3 points of sacks and interceptions, 1 point tackle, 1 point assist, 2 points forced fumbles. He's playing Derek Johnson, Quan Alexander, Deion Jones. On his bench is Vontaze Burfict. And he's a little worried about because of what happened. Came out with a neck injury. Didn't practice Thursday. Did practice Friday. I guess the first question is, do you have any worries about Burfict? And would you start him over any of those linebackers I mentioned?
Oh, I do have some concerns about Burfict's availability Sunday because he's had a bit of a history of head and neck issues, concussions, neck injuries. It's because he leads with his head as often as he does is the reason why it keeps happening. But if he starts, I would probably put him in ahead of Deion Jones. The Packers are a horrible matchup for linebackers, have been most of the season. It improved a little bit this past week with their new short passing game that's actually their running game. But I don't know that I want to count on that being the case every week. And I almost wonder if they do that, if that's not going to benefit Devondre Campbell more than it will Deion Jones. So I would start Burfict over Jones, but that's one where you're going to have to check back probably first thing in the morning. It's London game, yay!
I like the London game. I like having football. I mean, I got to get up a little early. That's annoying, but I like having football all day.
You got to get up a little early. It's 9:30 in the morning. What time do you sleep in till?
I can't sleep till 9:00. But now I got to get up at 8:00.
I haven't slept till 9 o'clock. And, well, I mean, I have two little
Sunday.
Kids.
So do I. You got to train those kids, man.
They're a little older. So I'm at a point where I have a baby. She's up. My 3-year. So I leave the house. This is a total tangent here. I leave the house at like 6 a.m. to get here. I wake up at 5:25. My son got up with me today. Heard the alarm. Ran down the stairs. Can I watch cartoons? That's where I'm at.
What's hilarious is you live much closer than I do. Much closer.
I know.
I wake up at 6:00.
I don't know how you do that. You just roll out of bed and go. I got like a whole prep situation I got to do. Got to mentally get ready. I got to primp.
Mike, I love you. I don't care what you look like.
I know. I know. But I just
like
how
the
I am.
From hell.
It's just how I am.
That's not like
Sorry.
Pete's here wearing
Sorry
a three-piece
about the tangent.
Suit.
Sorry about the personal. What's the word I'm looking for? The hygiene tangent, but that's where I'm at. I just got, that's what I like to do. Sorry, Gary. Sorry to take us off the rails.
I'm sure Gary's dressed well at home.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Showered, shaved.
That's right.
Gary, anyway, another question. Same game guy. He has Lorenzo Alexander, Deion Jones, Quan Alexander, Jamie Collins. On his bench is Thomas Davis. Do you agree with this?
I did. Davis is my IDP sit of the week in my Southern Does article of Fantasy Sharks this week. his numbers are just a way, whether you want to call it age or just the struggles of the Panthers defense as a whole or whatever you want to blame. His numbers are way down relative to last year. I don't know that I expect that to change, at least this week. The Cardinals are, I think, 29th in fantasy points allowed to the linebacker position. And while David Johnson has been running the ball better for him, it hasn't caused – you would think the improved run game would cause the linebacker production against him to spike a little bit. That spike just hasn't been there. I mean, obviously, if you got Luke Kuechly, you're starting him. You start him against everybody. But I have the, a couple leagues that I own Davis, and he's on my bench this week.
So, Gary, another guy that I wanted to talk about, because we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He's a great player, not a guy that in IDP circles is that valuable anymore, but you actually like him this week, and that's Earl Thomas. Is it because the sort of the play volume of the Saints allows him to be more valuable, or is it Cam Chancellor's absence, or is it both?
A little bit of both. It's play volume of the Saints. It's Chancellor being out. And he's been on a little bit of a big play kick. Didn't have one against the Arizona Cardinals, but in two of the last three games, he's got an interception. You know, this is a big game for the Seahawks coming off that thrilling Sunday night tie. And I just in a week where we got six teams on bye and a lot of people are, you know, looking for an option that maybe they wouldn't normally otherwise start, I think Thomas is going to be a sneaky good play this week.
Gary, let's go to team defenses for a second. Are you a big believer in riding a team that's been scoring return touchdowns? The Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, between special teams and returning interceptions or turnovers for touchdowns, are you a big believer in this, or is it just it's just luck?
Yeah, you know, the weird thing about the Eagles is they've been doing this. They had, I think it was a couple years ago, where they finished top five among team
that's
defense
right.
because they scored a ridiculous number of touchdowns. So given that, I look at them and I'm like, oh, maybe these guys are just good at scoring touchdowns. I've been riding the Eagles defense in one league where I picked them up before the season because I liked their schedule the first couple weeks of the year. I never really expected to still have them this late into the season, but they kept putting up points. So I've held on, and that's me. If the defense keeps producing on a weekly basis, then they get to stick around. But I have a very short leash when it comes to team defenses, and about the time they go out there and throw up one dud, you know, in most leagues, there's a plethora of streaming options available to you. And I'm just too twitchy. I can't help myself. I'm always moving guys in and out of the lineup. So I'm a streamer all the way.
So on this front, just kind of focusing on team defenses, George and I talked about this team a little bit earlier. They're in London tomorrow, but you have Washington going up against the Bengals. And the Bengals have been kind of a frustrating team for a lot of people, other than A.J. Green owners. I think the Bengals had a rough schedule to kind of start. They've lost all four of the good teams. They lost all four of the games in which they played good teams. They've scooped up three wins against the teams that haven't been so good this year. So going up against Washington, schedule gets a little bit lighter after the bye week. Do you think they could in some ways mirror last year's Chiefs where they get on a solid run here?
Oh, I think it's very possible. I mean, the Bengals, they were, what, a 12-win football team last year, won the AFC North, and it's not like they lost a lot of pieces from that team. Like you said, the schedule was kind of rough out of the gate. Now, sooner or later, they're going to have to start beating these good teams and not just, you know, getting fat on the Cleveland Browns of the NFL. But, yeah, I think the Bengals are a team that are much better than their record, and I expect – by the time the dust settles and, you know, we're heading into the month of December, that I don't know that they'll be in first place by any stretch of the imagination, although right now that AFC North has just been kind of thrown into chaos.
That's right.
And the Ravens have come back down to earth. So, I mean, that's still anyone's ballgame. So it's possible they could be in first place.
That's right.
And I do think they could be in playoff.
And, George, on this front, Steelers are only 4-3. They're going to be 4-3 starting, you know, basically the second half of their schedule next week. I can't believe it, but the Bengals have a real shot to actually win this division. Do I think the Steelers are a little better? Yeah, but that's with Roethlisberger playing, and he could be out for a couple of more weeks. So this is the interesting thing about the Bengals. They could end up winning this division just by way of default.
I'd like to see Ben be out three more weeks. I think he played Dallas in 3 weeks. So just, he should really hold off.
I hope he comes back after the bye week. I just don't see it happening.
I think I need an extra couple weeks out of that. He should make sure that knee is healthy before he goes. Actually, fantasy-wise, I need Ben back as soon as possible.
Exactly.
He's
right.
Killing me. Gary, I'm going to be a little greedy here, a little self-indulge here. I needed a defensive end in the Dynasty League we play in, but we're in different conferences, so you could help me here. Who you like better, Stacy McGee? Maybe I love this name, Legar Duzable. I love Carl Klug, Dwight Freeney. Give me a guy, Gary.
The delightful thing about that particular Dynasty League, going to the free agent well and realizing that the well is dry.
That's right.
Freeney's a guy that might be worth rolling out there for a week. The Packers have been a good matchup for defensive linemen most of the season. I think they're still top five in fantasy points allowed to the position. The problem with Feeney is it's kind of a feast or famine play. He doesn't play anywhere near a full complement of snaps. So if he doesn't get you a sack, you could be looking at, one solo or maybe even a goose egg. But I do like him in that matchup against Green Bay. So of those names, those other guys, you're looking at a couple solos if you're lucky. So at least Freeney's got a little upside, a little bit of a ceiling. Roll him out there and hope he gets you a sack.
I claimed him. I'm going to blame you if it doesn't work out.
So I went undefeated in that league last year. And I'm not saying it to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying, since you're undefeated, you know who I am to you? I am to George as the 72 Dolphins are to the rest of the NFL.
I don't want to go. I'm actually a big believer. I don't want to go undefeated in any league.
Why?
I think it's a kiss of death.
I pulled it off last year.
I think I've
you can do it.
I think I've been undefeated once, that I can remember, once in all the leagues I played in. Lost first round. So,
yeah, it's
lose.
Maddening.
If you
do lose, it's maddening.
I want to get my bye and lose.
So that's where we're at. So hopefully I'm 72 Dolphins.
Too much pressure.
I'll drink some champagne here on the show next week.
Mercury Morris is George has loses.
That's right.
Champagne right now.
That's right.
Ding!
So, Gary, good stuff. As always, appreciate you coming on. I assume you're going to be fired up for some football tomorrow and getting it started with tea and crumpets early tomorrow morning. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I've got a great sports day ahead of me today. Ohio State football at 3:30. World Series at 8 o'clock. I love it.
I'm guessing not a Cubs fan.
Ohio guy. Well, he's in Ohio. He's Indians all the way, right?
He's not a Cubs fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
So, all right, Gary. Well, enjoy the World Series. We'll see if Kluber can match what he did in Game 1. Good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, have a good one, gentlemen.
Okay, well, that was Gary Davenport. He's of IDP Sharks and Bleacher Report. He's here every week at 9 a.m. George and I will
not
be
next
back.
Week if Freeney doesn't do well.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Gary's on notice if Freeney has a bad game tomorrow. So George and I will be back in a couple of minutes to talk a little bit more about the upcoming game. So it's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Answering your questions all morning at 844-843-6879. That's 844-FNTSY. And hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And one thing I would ask is if you enjoy news but hate reading, then the Fantasy News Desk, sponsored by The Daily News, is for you. Plug in and zone out as all of the day's top fantasy sports headlines and stories are relayed to you by our experts, Tony Sincotta and Adam Ronis. Join us on air at 6 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2:30 p.m., or listen at your own convenience by visiting us on demand at fntsy.com/radio or downloading the Fantasy News Desk on iTunes. Everything you need to know to win only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, a little bit more back to the games for tomorrow. We've had a wide range of topics thus far today. Pat's Bills, we got Edelman and Bennett banged up. One thing I would say here, George, is that you've sort of been all over that Edelman's not right, that he's not 100%. You think he's been nursing an injury, and it seems like he was limited yet again this week in practice. So are you still of the opinion that Edelman is just not a great start because he's not, from week to week, because he's not healthy?
Well, he's not the Edelman of old. Valuable in a PPR, very valuable because he's going to catch 6, 7, 8, 9 balls, 70, 80 yards. That was 17 points right there. He's getting the end zone. Now you're talking 23. So, that's where the issue is there. He's still startable. Wide receiver 3 right now, somewhere around that range. But he's only catching half the catches now, 4 or 5 catches. Getting half the yardage now. He's not getting in the end zone.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about Julian Edelman is because he was a – what's the best way to phrase this? Yeah, slow start to his career. certainly from a fantasy standpoint, he's 30 years old. I think people don't realize that. He's got a lot of NFL miles on him, despite the fact that he maybe hasn't been productive for a decade. He's got a lot of NFL miles on him, so maybe to this point, you have to consider that when you're drafting
him. Absolutely, sure. I mean, that could have, and he's a small guy.
Yeah.
So those hits accumulate and they add up.
No doubt.
Your body takes a beating. I think absolutely you have to consider that.
So that was with Wes Welker. We saw that. We've seen that with a lot of slot guys over the years. It's a short window in which they can enact their
ability.
You also
wonder this. He broke the foot last year.
That's right.
Has that, you know, then he injured it again. Didn't break it, but he injured it again. You know,
I think it's all related to that.
So do I. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. So tomorrow, I mean, is this – so Edelman and Bennett – so does this help us with Gronk? Does this help with James White? Those are the two guys I'm really looking at. I wonder if it's a James White type of day.
I think it's always dangerous to play the Bill Belichick guessing game when it comes to the running backs. Blunt's the one guy I want. I love Blunt, having a fantastic season here. James White, I'm starting him. I can't see how I'm not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand there are going to be games. And last week he didn't do very well, except that he got in the end zone. Only had a couple of catches. And that could easily happen again. That'll be one thing I'll always worry about. That could pop up there. But that being said, I think Edelman gets in the end zone tomorrow, too. I think this is where he finally breaks that streak. I think I don't want to say it's a wipeout. I think it's hard to say a wipeout on the road. But what did Gary say? Or I don't know if you said they're going to come out and play angry tomorrow.
Yeah.
I do see that.
Yeah. Tom Brady's been brilliant so far. I mean, it's 75% of his passes, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, 0 picks. That's in 3 games, folks. So... needless to say, Tom Brady is on the warpath, and he's getting it done. The irony of all of this, and this is something that we talked about in the preseason, the 4 games off, it's just going to help them. It's just going to help. Guy's 40 years old. It's just going to help.
Right, because somehow he got rest.
That's right.
It should help him even more. So I think that, you know,
who
I'm
wants
sure
to play
16
games when you can play 12 and still finish 14-2 or 15-1, whatever they end up going. They don't appear to be any closer to losing a game now than they have been. The one game that they lost, as you said, the opponent is tomorrow. So on the Bills side, we talked about Mike Gillisley in the past. Tyrod Taylor, not a day for him tomorrow.
One more thing about New England.
Yeah.
Who's stopping him?
I don't know.
It's scary. I mean, really, who's stopping this team from going back to the Super Bowl?
It's something that I worried about before the year. When I thought the Steelers could challenge, now I don't think that.
No, I agree with you. I thought the Steelers could challenge. I wonder if the KC Chiefs could possibly challenge. They've given them problems in the past. You know,
you
their
really
style
want
of play.
Andy Reid to go up against Bill Belichick again?
No, Reid will make mistakes. That we know that. And I like Andy Reid, but you know, his time management skills, clock management.
It's the worst I've ever seen from a really good football coach, and it's the worst I've ever seen. But. You know, the Broncos only in that
defensively, they could
mix it up. But they were able to scrape out 20-something points against the Pats last year in the playoffs. I don't know that they could do that this year.
No.
The Pats defense is the thing that's, to me, stepped them up that much more. I mean, I drafted Tom Brady in every league that I could get him. I knew he was going to do this. And now... the defense is pretty good. It's probably better than they've had the last few years.
I just think Denver, the defense is not the problem. It's going to be the – I don't know if the offense can score enough points.
That's right.
Pittsburgh, I could see, but Pittsburgh needs to get New England into a shootout. And just, hey, let's rev it up and let's go.
It's going to be in New England, though.
Yeah, that's obvious.
So, listen, I'm a Steelers fan, so if you hear the consternation in my voice, that's the problem. As I'm just frustrated by all this. They can't seem to – The amount of games that they've had Brown and Roethlisberger and Bell on the field is minuscule. And the defense wasn't going to be good. And now some of those major contributors like Hayward and Shazier are hurt. So I don't know that there's ever going to be a game this season where everybody's healthy. The good news is, if there's any good news regarding injuries, the injuries are happening now. So maybe when we get to week 16, 17 in the playoffs, they're a full boat. So we'll see. So Pats, Bills, there you have it. Tyrod Taylor, average game tomorrow. Not a guy you're looking to stream tomorrow, correct?
No, no weapons. I mean, he just doesn't have any weapons. Without McCoy, no. I mean, how many teams are going to win without their top wide receiver and top running back?
Yeah.
And it's not like they had great depth here.
I was just about to say that. They're thin to begin with.
Right. This is not the the Packers. Okay, you lost Nelson. You still got Adams. You still got, you know, Cobb. You still got, you know, you don't have that here. You know, so that's why I think this game is going to be a wipeout. You know, they just don't have anything to compete. I'm not sure even when healthy, if they don't really have enough. You know, they really would rely on the defense to chop New England down. Maybe the defense plays well again, but I just think it's eventually.
They're not going to play like that.
It's like a dam. They'll hold on.
That was Jacoby Brissett. That was. Yeah.
Makes life a little easier.
Yeah.
Forgot about him, didn't we?
Yeah. So one game I wanted to talk about is Raiders Bucks. We got Raiders stayed in Florida, I believe, over the week because they played at the Jags last week, and now they're at the Bucks. Sort of a schedule quirk. Raiders always seem to have a really rough schedule set up, but in any event.
It's because the NFL hates them.
Yeah. So they're at the Bucks this week. It's a 49.5 total. It's the second highest of the week. Jaquizz Rodgers has been great so far. He's going for a third consecutive game, trying to get over 100 yards. Raiders, obviously, we got some offensive stars there. Amari Cooper continues the twists and turns of a frustrating season. Even though he's been good, you don't get the same performance that you want each and every week. So how does this game play out? You see this being a shootout, all hands on deck?
I think it should have maybe overturned it a little bit, but that being said, yeah, I think points are going to get put on the board. Whatever the over-under is, I'd probably...
49.5.
49. Wow, that's pretty high.
It's the second highest this week.
I don't know if I can quite go there. But,
we're going to talk about the highest one right after this.
I think I know what the highest one is. But that being said, who aren't you starting? You look at the Raiders, you're starting Carr, Crabtree, Cooper. Latavius Murray, him and Melvin Gordon to me are the same guy. If they don't get in the end zone, they're not going to do much for you. You know, YPC, yards per carry, not very good, but they score. And that's the name of the game here. They get in the end zone. I think it'll happen again tomorrow.
I think they'll score some Gordon points. And Murray are the ultimate examples of why we preach opportunities.
Right. And they're both getting chances. And yeah. At least with Gordon,
you're like, you don't have
else.
To be in love with the guy. Frank Gore to some extent, too, now in the Indianapolis days. Like, you don't have to be in love with how dynamic the guy is or how he lacks that dynamic piece of play in his repertoire. But they get the ball 20 times. Those are the guys that we want. And, like, Jonathan Stewart has been that guy in the past as well. You want guys to be exciting, like Tevin Coleman and some of these other guys, but they're not getting the ball all the time. They're in and out of the lineup. When these guys are healthy, they're in there. They're getting enough opportunities. So on the Bucks end, Mike Evans got to be an easy play, obviously. Do you expect another big performance out of him like we saw last week?
I think, Jake Steele on the show yesterday. He plays a game. They call it Fantasy Forecast. And, he asked me and Marcus Grant from NFL.com a question. Mike Evans, over or under 100 yards tomorrow? I don't have to think about this. Yeah, I think a better question might have been 125.
How about Jameis tomorrow?
I think he's a star, a streamer. Absolutely. I mean, maybe a top streamer. I felt a good game out of him. I told you I was receiving questions in the Roto Experts email answer queue. Winston or Wilson? I don't think it's a bad question. I don't. I think Raiders, we know, can't stop the pass. He's got Mike Evans. I could see 280, 290. I could even see 300 yards coming here. 2-3 touchdowns wouldn't shock me at all. You know, I think Shepard's also a solid play here if you need somebody for a bye week filler. I think points are going to be put on the board here. I just sometimes wonder about teams where they're not great teams. They're not bad teams. They're not great teams. And sometimes we get maybe a little bit over with our expectations and maybe don't end up being a 21-20 game somewhere around there. But that being said, most of these guys are starting for me on these teams.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big game here for a lot of people. I know it's going to impact a lot of fantasy owners. And for those of you that picked up Jaquizz Rodgers, I think it could not have worked out better for you thus far. You know what's interesting? You and I preseason talked about three quarterbacks that were ranked QB2. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Jameis Winston. We said be mindful of those guys, and all three are going to challenge for QB1. We're obviously easily clearing that on the first two. And Jameis is 15th right now, points per game. He's right around there. He's challenging. After this, he could be in the top 12.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think I can quite put him there yet.
Yeah, it's close.
Even
cause this is exactly what we said about Jameis. He'll be right there. Yeah.
Ryan, I just thought was silly. Back in preseason that we were like 18th, I think it was what his ADP was. I didn't understand that because of one bad half a season.
That's
right. With Julio Jones, if we love Julio Jones so much, it's hard not to like the quarterback throwing it.
100%. One hand washes the other there. You know, like we love Mike Evans, we love Julio Jones. The quarterbacks have to go with them to some extent. Matt Stafford was like that in the past too. When Calvin was at the height of his powers, Matt Stafford, whether you liked his play or not, Matt Stafford was brought up there with him just on volume. So
There you go there. And speaking of Matt Ryan, talk about that game for a couple of minutes. Packers at Falcons, the highest total on the board, 52.5. I assume that's a game you thought it was. Defense is taking a week off here. We see this up and down the field. 52.5. That means we're looking at, according to Vegas, we're looking at, let me figure that out, 28, 25, 20, somewhere around there.
26, 30. 26, 27, 25, 28, 25, 28, 26, whatever you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm probably more curious about the Packers. I think Atlanta, we know what we're going to do, right? You start Freeman, you start Ryan, you start Jones. I guess you could think about Sanu, Tame, depending on how deep you need to go here, who you need to fill in for. With the Packers, though, all right, I know Rodgers threw for 326 last week, but that came on 54
so
passes. It was 39 and 54. They don't...
Talk about quality of play. That was just not fun to watch.
They don't attempt many balls down the field anymore. It's a little concerning here.
Sorry, Jordy Nelson owners.
Jordy can't get separation. And that's clear to see here. He can't get separation. You got to keep him separate. I don't know where that song's from. But he can't get separation.
George singing songs to himself in the middle of a point. What
was
song?
It's ringing around in my head when I said separation. You got to keep him separated. Can you help me out, P? Here? Can you look up the song?
That's Offspring.
You actually know that?
Yeah.
Oh, look at name that tune, Mike.
Yeah,
Mike Blewett.
Right.
So I'm going to be concerned somewhat about it. I want to see if they can do it. Maybe no more dynamic. I mean, I think we're still spoiled by Aaron Rodgers. You know, perfect on every pass down the field, you know, in stride, hitting big plays. So I'm a little curious about that. I'm starting Rodgers. You're starting Cobb. I'm starting Nelson. I can't not start him. Devontae Adams, more than likely he goes.
So I'm getting a lot of questions in this regard.
I know where this comes.
Like, who's the right play? Is it Adams? Is it Montgomery? Is it Cobb? Who's the guy for the year? First of all, in a lot of instances, who do I pick up, Adams or Montgomery? So who's the guy you would go with if you were ranking them?
Cobb is still number one for me.
Cobb, number one of those three.
Three big weeks in a row.
And then it's Adams and then Montgomery, or reverse those last two?
I would go Montgomery and Adams, but it's close.
It is real close.
I think
can I expect that Davante Adams game that he had to be the norm? It hasn't been during his career. He's been a horribly frustrating guy for the last year and a half. Now, some guys turn the corner, and maybe this is it for him. But I'm leaning Montgomery just because of sort of the safety of the volume, right, as opposed to Adams, where we don't know if he's going to catch 13 passes every week.
He's not. Of course he's not.
Right.
You know, it'll be matchup play here. I think when it comes to Ty Montgomery, I think he's going to get his chances. He's going to be lined up in that backfield. Nile Davis, Don Jackson, listen, there. Nile Davis, I think, is going to be more of a short yardage goal line guy here. So I don't think Ty Montgomery, I think those days are done for Ty. You know, that goal line carry he got last week, you ain't seeing that again.
Right.
All right, that's probably done. Don Jackson, not really all that worried
about.
Nile
Davis had 2 days to prepare for that game.
There's no way he knew about blitz pickup or anything like that. Yeah. He was never going to play much. He played in garbage time where it didn't matter.
Sure.
He'll be used more now. You know, but I think it's still pretty much to go to goal line carry, short yardage, where, yes, everybody knows he's going to run the ball, but you would know that anyway. Ty Montgomery is still going to be valuable in PPR leagues. I think he'll still get his 8 to 10 carries. I think I expect him to get 12 to 14 touches in some way or form. So in PPR leagues is where I think his value lies. But you also have to think, everyone's seen this now for a couple of weeks. Not going to surprise anybody anymore. It definitely took Dallas off guard, and Chicago didn't catch on to it all that well either. I think Atlanta doesn't have the greatest defense, but they've seen it, so they'll know how to – you would think they'll defend it better.
They've given up the second most receptions to running backs this year, which puts Ty Montgomery in actually a pretty good spot for tomorrow. So I'm with George. I think he's still lean Ty Montgomery. Could he cede way to Davante Adams in touches over the next 6 weeks? Maybe. But I think they're still going to use him in the manner that George is talking about, at least for this week. On the Falcons side of things, listen, we mentioned at the top of the show, Tevin Coleman is out, so this is Devontae Freeman. Big week for him. Julio, we don't really even need to discuss, but you may be looking at guys like Mohamed Sanu, like you mentioned. Matt Ryan, probably near the top of the list of your quarterbacks. Hopefully for me, he beats out Blake Bortles, so I don't feel badly that Bortles is going to beat him out on the bench.
See,
but
I wouldn't
how
feel
would
badly
I know?
Anyway.
That was the one
who's
touchdown.
Starting Bortles
There's
over
a touchdown
Ryan?
With 1 second left.
But who's starting Bortles
I
over
did that
Ryan?
Like a month ago, and I'm never going to do it again. So, in any event, Matty Ice in line for a big game tomorrow. So we're going to head to a break right now, continue with a few more games after the break. We didn't get to as many today, but we had a lot of good tangents. We're talking about George's singing songs in the middle of his segment. We had to talk about, I was right, by the way, it was The Offspring is that song. I don't know if that's the name of the song, but in any event, George giving us his musical stylings in the middle of segments about Packers-Falcons. We'll talk Cards, Panthers, Eagles, Cowboys, Chiefs, Colts, a couple of other games next. We'll go rapid fire there. It's Mike and George, Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning with Mike Blute and George Kurtz. Down to our last segment, and coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have College Game Day, and I'm just trying to find something here. Well, in any event, it's College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Germanello. They're going to be here taking you through the next few hours. So here it is. Saturday mornings aren't meant for sleeping. They're meant for hangovers and college football. Join GoForTheTwo.com's Joe Lisi and Campus Insider's Rich Germanello on College Football Game Day as they tackle all the big topics from around the college football landscape and prepare you for your Saturday slate of action. It's all going to happen in a few minutes from 10 a.m. to noon every College Football Saturday only on Fantasy Sports Radio Network on demand at FNTSY.com/radio. Or available for download on iTunes. Some big games coming up on the college football slate and on the NFL slate. I'm going to keep going through these. We'll probably do some rapid fire here because we've got about 10 minutes left. So we talked Packers-Falcons, but Cards-Panthers, kind of a reset button for both teams. Carolina coming off the bye. Arizona coming off the riveting 6-6 tie on Sunday Night Football. Real quick, I know it's a week old. It's the most improbable ending I've ever seen to a game. Two legitimate kickers missing
chip
kickers.
Shots. I could have kicked that
inside of 30 yards. What is the percentage of that in the NFL? 96%?
I think it's
that they're making
that,
maybe higher.
It's an extra point,
right? So yeah,
old-time
closer,
extra point.
Closer than
I meant
extra
old,
points.
Old-time extra points.
And they took the 5-yard penalty on the delay of game. I wonder if that made a difference when he clanged it off the upright. By the way, I have the Cardinals over on the year. So how I'm the guy staying up watching that stupid game all the way through overtime, thinking they could maybe get a field goal out of it. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about the game. So, Cards-Panthers. What do you like here? Anybody? Anybody offensively outside of Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, the first thing you're curious about is, did Carolina fix their secondary woes during the bye week? Now, I doubt it. I don't know if 2 weeks is enough time, but it makes you wonder if they certainly had to work on it because they were getting shredded. I mean, shredded through the air. Run defense was okay, but the pass defense was pathetic. I'm assuming no, so I'm starting Carson Palmer. I think he's back in my good graces. I think Michael Floyd's back in my good graces. That's about it. Fitzgerald's an automatic star for me. David Johnson's an automatic star for me.
Sure.
So I'm not worried about those guys. I see some questions about starting Cam Newton this week. Once again, people aren't automatically buying in, and you got the Arizona Cardinals. Tough pass defense. Not liking Kelvin Benjamin this week. I think Peterson's going. I know Peterson's a little banged up. And here's something to it. When the Cardinals and Seahawks play each other, both teams tend to have a trouble the next week because they beat the snot out of each other.
Yep.
So that could be an issue
as well.
Close,
George. I'm glad you self-edited there. We were getting close.
Listen, do you listen to a Cha-Cha segment?
I can't.
Every curse word comes
on
with Cha-Cha.
I can't swear on the radio. I mean, I can't. You can, but
I was
going to
say C-R-A-P. I don't think that would have been a big problem here for what Cha-Cha
said. You can say crap. I don't know. It's fine.
What do you think I was going to say? Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to go a stronger version of that. Yeah, it's Saturday morning. People are watching cartoons. I thought George was going to get a little strong.
Do they have cartoons Saturday morning anymore?
I don't know. They're on all the time at my house. So DVR, it's like a 24-hour cycle of Octonauts and Team Umizoomi. And there's very few of you that know what that means. But I'm telling you.
I'd be one of those few.
If you're in my sweet spot, you know what I'm talking about. It's maddening. In any event. You're saying that this is going to be a tough follow-up after that.
It could be a tough follow-up. It makes you wonder if that plays a role here. That being said, I can't bench Cam. Not for what the stream is offering for Fitzpatrick or for even Dalton. I can't bench him. No. I'm going to start Cam Newton.
Carolina running game?
I mean, if I could, sure, but I don't think he can stay away from Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can, I don't see big things. So, like, I don't see Ingram doing big things in New Orleans, but I don't know how he can stay away from it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're deeper than I am.
Yeah, like, I have Greg Olsen. Obviously, he's going to play every week.
Olsen's always a must. Cam's a must. But Benjamin, I don't expect to do well. And obviously, nobody below him going anywhere near. I do wonder.
By the way, speaking of nobody below him, there hasn't been anybody below him. The guys like Funchess and Ginn and the other guys that we thought could be at the end of the radar just haven't worked out.
Funchess is a disappointment.
Yeah.
I thought he would do.
You and I talked about him earlier in the year thinking, like, if there was a guy that could break out.
I thought it would be him.
It could be him.
He did well
him
without Travis Benjamin last year.
Him and Travis Benjamin, we actually thought, could exceed expectations greatly, and that just hasn't happened. Disappointing from Travis Benjamin as well because with Keenan Allen's injury.
I do wonder if the Panthers protect Cam. I know Cam came out in the interview yesterday. Oh, it's my game. I'm not going to let you. The Panthers have to be smart here. Your franchise quarterback. You can't keep getting him running these patterns. He's going to get killed. I understand, you know, the last concussion was really his fault. He slowed down. Well, you know, he finishes the play. This probably doesn't happen. But you can't keep having your franchise quarterback banged up.
I've seen Cam come out of game, come start games, like come out of the whistle from the first opening kickoff, and he's trying to run over the whole team. I've seen him do that many times. But he's not going to change. I think he exacts his will on people, and it's helped him to win a lot of football games.
Well, he may not change with the offensive coordinator. They can protect him. Don't call those plays.
They could. But, you know, job security and all that kind of stuff, I don't see it happening. So we do have a call on the line, and it's Mike from Minnesota. Mike, what do you got for us?
I got a question from my idol, George Kurtz.
That's right. I'll let you say it, buddy.
I got a standard league, Greg Olsen or Brandon LaFell, then in a PPR, Jordy Nelson or Chris Thompson.
Well, you're going. I'm going Olsen over LaFell. I know it's a tougher matchup going up against Arizona, but I can't sit Olsen. LaFell, more of a hit or miss, could be get the big play he did last week, but for overall, I'm still going Olsen here. And the other one was Thompson or Nelson. Well, we expect 60 points to be scored in that game, right?
Yeah.
I know Nelson was a disappointment last week, but I'm not going to bank on Thompson either. Tough defense going up against Cincinnati. I'll go with the better matchup in Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. You know, Thompson we do think could have some value. We talked about him earlier, but going up against Jordy Nelson in a game that is the highest total on the board, I can't shy away from him despite disappointments from Jordy Nelson.
I think Rodgers is going to make a point to get the ball to Nelson,
I can't
too.
Bench him in favor of Chris Thompson, who does have some value this week. I think it's not a crazy question. It would have been a month ago, but it's not a crazy question this week. We'll still go with Jordy Nelson, though. So, Mike, how are you spending the day in Minnesota, buddy? What do you got going on today? You watching some college football?
No, I'm just going to be relaxing and get ready for all the games tomorrow.
Sounds good. You're going to get up and watch the London game, tea and crumpets, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'll get up and watch it automatically. Even though it's early, I'll still get up.
That's good stuff. Well, we can't wait to hear from you next week. Hopefully you get a couple of W's this week in fantasy. So thanks for giving us a call, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, thanks. That's Mike from Minnesota, one of our loyal listeners, and he idolizes George Kurtz, as I do in my own way, but Mike really has a special affinity for you and your knowledge, George, so we're always glad to have him as a caller. So got a couple of more. We'll do rapid fire because we only got a few minutes left. Chiefs at Colts. We talked about that a little bit. Spencer Ware is a guy that you want. Alex Smith, any kind of you like him here as a streaming option?
No. I mean, you could be in a 14-16 team league, which makes him a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. But in 10 or 12, I said again, we saw it last week. He didn't line up the Saints. They're just not that kind of team. They don't need him to throw the ball 30, 40 times.
Yep.
Now, maybe Indianapolis gets up big. I think it's unlikely, but maybe. And they're forcing him to. But I think this is going to be a game where they're going to do short passing game again. And Spencer Ware, big day.
Dante Moncrief, we tend to shy away from players back off of long layoffs, but Dante Moncrief looks like he's going to play. Is he a guy that you're willing to put in there, even if you have other legitimate options?
Not if I have other legitimate. And
would you
I
play
love
Jeremy Maclin, or would you play Dante Moncrief?
I go Moncrief. I don't
Interesting.
Like, I'm not big. Maclin did nothing against the Saints last week. And he's going to get Vontae Davis tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to throw the ball a whole bunch, even though the matchup says they should. I don't think they're going to change there. I don't think KC is game plan specific. They're going to do what they do. Beat what we do best. And then we'll have to adjust. I think they'll throw more than normal, but not an overly amount. My problem with this is I don't like starting guys coming off multi-week injuries right away. I want to see them play. What if they don't get a full complement of snaps? What if they're not up to game speed?
Eifert last week.
Right.
I didn't play Eifert last week.
He just stuck his toe in the water there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I expect Moncrief and Des Bryant, who fits in this category as well, to play full snaps.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they're off a little bit. chemistry's not there. Timing's not there. So I just get worried a little bit. If, only if, I have legitimate options, as you put it, I'm not going down and starting Shepard over Moncrief. I'm not going that far down the list.
Yeah.
But if the guy's around the same area, around the same rankings, sure, if it's a little lower, yes, I would play a little safe here.
You're saying Sterling Shepard or Russell Shepard?
Russell, Sterling's off tonight.
Okay, so, oh, that's right. So
definitely wouldn't play Sterling.
Yeah, that's right.
So, good chance for a zero there.
Yeah, they have a very good chance for a zero. So, see what happens? You, in the middle of a two-hour radio show, you forget who's on by. So, T.Y. Hilton, by the way, leading the league in targets, probably not something we expected to see, but obviously injuries have impacted that some. You have to like T.Y. on some level tomorrow.
Of course.
I mean, Chiefs have some talent there in defensive secondary, but T.Y. just... he's actually become more reliable this year, ironically, than he has in years past. So your team, the Big D, Dallas Cowboys, they are hosting the Eagles tomorrow night. It's the Zeke show, right? It continues to be the Zeke Elliott show. Streamers, you like Wentz or Prescott in this game, either of them?
I don't know how you like Wentz. His numbers have gone down now. I think it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. Once, I think the league has caught up to him.
Yep.
You know, they've seen film on him. They know what he does well, what he doesn't do well, and they've adjusted there. Also, I think the defense has played so well, and they're getting so many returns for touchdowns, which we talked about with Gary Davenport earlier, that they haven't needed to take as many chances to throw the ball down the field. So, no, I don't like Wentz. And I don't want to start him. Really, who do you want to start in Philadelphia? You think about it. Who do you want to start?
I've had some Jordan Matthews questions this week.
So have I.
I shied away from him in the
same here?
In the questions that I've had.
Dallas has problems on defense, but not the secondary. Secondary's played very well.
Plus, your play volume goes down when you play the Cowboys.
Because you know they're going to control the ball 35, 40 minutes a game.
That's right.
And it's not like the Eagles are going to open things up. This game is going to be, I think, more of a...
it's a huge game and from NFL perspective.
It's week 8. I don't know if I believe in any huge games.
Fair. But it's for first place.
It is for first place. But I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle, 2017, somewhere around that range, final score, depending on turnovers and stuff like that. But really, Ryan Matthews, okay, you maybe have to start him. Once again, it's running back. You have no other issues. I can see Darren Sproles in the PPR league being somewhat valuable. Zach Ertz has been a complete disappointment, but Dallas does not do well against the tight ends. Maybe it's, this is the game where Ertz breaks out with Philadelphia.
Oh, God, I hope. I mean, I've been riding him into the ground, and it's just not working out. So we got Jets, Browns. We talked a little bit about Terrell Pryor there, some issues there. Brandon Marshall is going to be really heavily targeted. Matt Forte, you have in that mix. Fitzpatrick, you like as a streamer's delight because he's playing the Browns.
Yeah.
Right, so
that's pretty much enough said.
Yeah, Josh McCown back in the mix. Yeah, you could see some damage getting done there. Chargers, Broncos, tough game for Phil Rivers and Melvin Gordon. On the Broncos side of things, it's Devontae Booker all the way. You like the wide receivers there?
Sure, to a degree. I mean, San Diego's beat up in the secondary, but I thought that a couple of weeks ago, too. It didn't work out. It's all about Simeon. Yeah, is he hot? Is he not? I don't love them, but yes, they're both startable.
Lions at Texans. Do we like, we like the Lions wide receivers, Tate and Jones?
Yes, they really like them
both.
Eric
Ebron got a lot of questions about him this week.
Once again, first game back in a couple of weeks, depending on who else you have there. I don't mind him, but he's in that 10 to 14 range for me. The running game, Riddick PPR maybe, but another situation where all things equal, I'd like to stay away from.
And you expect Lamar Miller to play. You have to play DeAndre Hopkins and just suck it up because it's just not looking good in the passing front right there. Vikings, Bears, probably lowest total on the board, like the under there.
Like, I hate everybody on Chicago.
Asiata or McKinnon?
Is McKinnon going to play? If McKinnon doesn't play, Asiata's a play. I think Asiata gets in the end zone either way.
Yeah. So there we go, folks. A little rapid fire for George. We covered about six games in the last minute and a half. So thank you for joining us today. We got College Day game day coming up for the next couple of hours with Joe Lisi and Rich Germanello. This is Mike and George, Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back here next Saturday. Appreciate you folks listening. Good luck tomorrow. Get those tea and crumpets fired up at 9:30 in the morning.